Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Paul gives thanks for the gospel. We've been looking at it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul gives thanks for the gospel after having given thanks for the Colossians' faith and love and hope. But all of these things he traces to the gospel that is the power of God that had come to them by the voice of Epaphras, who had apparently been saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus and went back home to his hometown of Colossae and there proclaimed the gospel with powerful effect. And so Paul says, of the truth of the gospel which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Thus far, we have talked about Paul's thanks for the spread of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world. Paul's thanks for the power of the gospel and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew. And now today, we're going to take a look at Paul's thanks for the grace of the gospel. Since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So that's where we're going on this Monday, October 12. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for participating in the financial support that is necessary to keep the Beacon Broadcast on the air. The grace of the gospel. Paul gives thanks for the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And we do understand, don't we, the centrality of grace in the message of the gospel. Grace really is the heart of the gospel. And what is grace? By definition that nearly all Christians agree with, grace is unmerited favor. It is a free gift. And that's what Paul makes reference to. Since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, you knew this free gift of God that comes to you, and you knew it in truth. So grace is the word, above all words, that reminds us that salvation is all of God. It is not by human effort, not even partly by human effort. You can't mix human effort into it without spoiling grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Human effort, works, is merited favor. You can't put the two together. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, the Bible tells us. So, grace is the word that tells us salvation is all of God. And grace is the word that separates the gospel of Jesus Christ from all other religions. And I hope you understand that. There are really only two religions in all the world. One religion of grace, all other religions of works. It's obvious, of course, that there are thousands of religions, but all of them but one have this in common. They are religions of works, of merit, of what man does in order to gain salvation, in order to gain favor with God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, found in the pages of the book we call the Bible, is the only religion, the Christian religion is the only religion that is based entirely upon grace. It's not what we do in order to merit God's favor. We can't. The favor of God is undeserved. We don't merit it. We can't merit it. We can only receive it as a gift from God. But in spite of that statement being made, and I think would be agreed upon by nearly every radio listener, I still insist that grace is one of the hardest truths in all the world to truly grasp. It sounds simple enough when you define it, when you state it, when you contrast it with other doctrines and misunderstandings of salvation. But when you really come down to applying this concept of grace freely bestowed by Almighty God on undeserving sinners, it truly turns out to be a very difficult truth to grasp. In fact, I don't think it ever is truly grasped except by the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. There's something in the heart of every person, every fallen son and daughter of Adam, that instinctively thinks in terms of works and merit. And it takes a powerful operation of the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to grasp this simple, foundational, but absolutely essential concept that salvation is not of works, it's not of merit, it's not by the flesh, it's not by the will of man, it is all of God, it is of grace. But we're told here by Paul, as he gives thanks for the grace of God, we're told how this grace is communicated to us, and how does it come to us? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is freely bestowed by God. It is His gift, and He gives it without consideration for who deserves it and who doesn't deserve it, because, of course, then it becomes a matter of merit rather than free grace. But how does God communicate it? And this is very important, because some people have the idea that God just sort of pours out grace. Well, there are many different concepts. Some would believe that God pours out His grace upon everybody in equal fashion and equal measure. But some people are willing to receive it, and others instead refuse it, and that makes the difference. But, of course, that becomes problematic if you really think about it, because if that's the way it is, then in the final analysis, it's not entirely of grace. God pours out His grace, but in the final analysis, those who receive the benefit of the grace are those who did something favorable in order to receive it, as opposed to those who did something unfavorable in order to deflect it. So that's not a very good explanation, but some people have the idea that God just more or less zaps people with grace, and Paul links the communication of grace to something else. He links it to God's truth. Did you see that? Verse 6 again. Since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And Paul is telling us, I had to stop and think and make sure I was talking about Paul, and I am when I'm talking about Colossians. Paul is telling us that grace operates in and through God's truth. In other words, it comes to us with the gospel. It comes to us in the gospel. That's the way God's grace is communicated. That's the way it is bestowed. That's the way it comes to us. Now, that is not to say that it is the proclamation of the gospel apart from anything else, because, of course, the proclamation of the gospel in and of itself is not enough. It also takes the operation of the Holy Spirit. for the gospel to be truly understood, to open the heart that it might be received. There is a work of the Spirit of God that is necessary, but Paul is telling us that the Spirit of God works in partnership with the truth, that is, the Word of God. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about sin, the truth about judgment, the truth about reconciliation, the truth about redemption, which gets us into the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did to redeem sinners with his death upon the cross, what he has done to reconcile sinful man to God by his righteous life and by his vicarious death. And it is through the proclamation of the gospel, this truth of the gospel, that God communicates his grace. So, I can't dispense grace that comes from God. I can't control the Holy Spirit like the wind that blows where it will, so the Holy Spirit operates according to his sovereign will. But I can preach the word. I can create this condition that is used by God in the dispensing of his grace. I can't claim his grace. I can't command his grace. I can't predict his grace. I cannot control his grace, but I can preach the truth that accompanies grace and pray for God to accompany the proclamation of the truth with his grace. That's what I can do. This grace, the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And when it says in truth or truly, that's talking about the reception of grace. That's another way of saying received the grace of God really, genuinely, truly. You came to understand it. It implies a level of knowledge which falls short of saving grace. In other words, that there is a level of knowledge which falls short of saving grace. That would be something less than truly. You heard and knew the grace of God truly. But grace teaches us our sin and total dependence upon Christ alone. Grace humbles, enlivens, and establishes us in the gospel of Christ. It is possible to know about the gospel without knowing it truly. That is, savingly, in saving grace. And therefore, I come to the conclusion, as I listen carefully to what Paul is saying, as he gives thanks to God for the gospel, I come to the conclusion that there's nothing in all the world that is better than the gospel. False teachers in Colossae and elsewhere were saying, look beyond the gospel for something that's even better. The gospel's good as far as it goes, but let us tell you something better. Paul says the gospel is ultimate. There is nothing better. The gospel is powerful. There is nothing more powerful. The gospel is what you need more than anything else. And therefore, when it comes to the gospel, believe it, explore it, review it, proclaim it, and thank God for it. That's what I intend to do by the help and grace of God, and I would encourage you to do exactly the same. I, like Paul, I'm going to give thanks to God for the gospel, and I'm going to proclaim the gospel, and I'm going to pray God the Holy Spirit to empower that gospel by attending it with the grace of God. Until tomorrow, at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.